Episode commencing in 3, 2, 1. Episode initiated.
Welcome back to the gritty sci-fi action drama of the Star Crit Andor universe. No lightsabers or Jedi in this hard-boiled revolutionary prequel sequel, so grab your trusty blaster and some space cereal and make the jump to light speed with us to bring down the Empire. This is your GM Patrick here, your galactic Machiavellian villain here on the show, and joining me in taking on imps and sometimes elements of the rebellion as well are my five friends and your Rogue One constituents. To my far left, a character getting ready to steal the Death Star plans. It's Jabert, jabbering away as Jamfrom.
Anders.
Across the digital table from me, Mon Mothma playing politics behind the scenes. It's Miles, make believe is redacted.
Good evening.
To my right, an antiquities dealer and spymaster extraordinaire. Why, it's Tyler talking as a praetor.
Hello there.
To my immediate left, kill one security guarding, get swept up and overthrown the intergalactic hegemony. We've got Drew dying to play Zilix Thel.
I gotta be this guy.
And across from him, bureaucratic imperial with an overbearing mother, it's none other than Rebecca Rowan with Asher and Sky.
Hello.
Drew, I gave you pretty much Andor. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I thought you gave me Cyril. Sorry. I misread that.
You just assumed what's going to. I gave it to Rebecca.
I read the room wrong.
Oh, that's so funny. That guy definitely has a Jewish mother, like an overbearing.
Oh, I've been trying so to get funny. Rebecca to watch Andor for like, how long has Andor been around?
3 years.
3 years.
Like 6 months. Oh no.
Yeah, everyone keeps telling me how great it is, and it's making me not want to watch it at all.
Heck yeah, Rebecca resists.
Rebecca, honestly, Andor's kind of mid. It's pretty skippable.
Oh, okay.
Not that good.
Maybe I'll check it out.
No, you shouldn't.
I don't think you'd like it.
Pretty butt, so.
Yeah, it's not for girls.
There's not
more
a
women
single
than any other Star Wars show.
Not a single Death Star explodes in the series. Were they trying to save money on the CGI budget or something?
the
it's
one
called
thing, so
Star Wars, not Star
you
Cold Wars.
You jokingly mentioned the cereal. The entire time, I'm thinking of, like, did they just pick out, like, all the blue kicks from that one run where the kicks was, like, blue?
It is funny. As soon as I saw him making a bowl of cereal in that episode, I'm like, oh, my gosh, space cereal confirmed.
He eats it more than once. So either he's only eating cereal or it's some sort of other, like,
gosh. It says a lot about his character days. As a grown man who is eating cereal at night.
Well, I was about to say, if they make a TV show, if they make a TV show based on me, they'll be like, what is wrong with this guy? Why is he eating cereal all the time? Oh, yeah. He's recording another podcast? What the heck? Oh, gosh. Speaking of recording another podcast.
I don't think it's realistic that somebody would eat that much McDonald's.
Yeah, oh, called out. My wife and I are planning a trip to Japan. We're leaving quite soon. And
McDonald's.
Today she was like, I don't want to go to McDonald's in Japan.
And
I
was like,
Oh, I absolutely do.
You have to, though. I know you don't want to go to McDonald's in Japan like every day, but you have to go one time to see the weird, it's like foreign stuff at it.
I have such an affinity for fast food menu items in other countries. Mm-hmm. Like, I have spent hours on YouTube watching like entire menu readouts or like comparisons and stuff. And I want to go to every single one of them. It's often places I don't even go here, but I want to go there.
In the last year,
say, I avoid fast food at all costs in the U.S. I certainly don't want to seek it out on my travels
in
another country.
I absolutely do. I want to try
I need to know what
they
call
like
a
piece of
quarter pounder with cheese.
Hey, in the last year, McDonald's in Japan has had both Godzilla and Evangelion Happy Meal toys.
Also that.
Also, I will say the burgers there, pretty cute. They're really cute.
They do some pretty cool stuff. They also do some questionable stuff. I think this one was
oh yeah.
Might have been Thailand or China where they had like a like literally like a foot long of patties. Or no, it was a foot long of like the cheese singles. And they called it like the ultimate cheeseburger or something. It
looked my heavens.
Horrifying.
That's you know, good. You can't do that.
I think it's one of those things where if as long as it's not replacing a meal, like if you're just like, I want to have this experience, so I'm going to cram this in and it's going to make me miserable, that's fine. But if if you're in Japan, there is so much to try. Oh, for sure. It shouldn't replace a meal because...
No. I would just want to go hop in and be like, oh, we don't have that, that, and that. I want those.
I was about to say, I could pull up my list of like actual Japanese meals that I would like to try first, but it's one of those things like maybe if we're running for a train or something.
You're going to Jiro spot?
I was in Japan for so long. I don't even want to tell you the amount of times that I would replace entire meals with either curry pan or crepes because they have those, they're everywhere. They're like, they were just like these crepe vendors that would just be out on the street. Mm-hmm. And I was such a sucker for those and the curry bread. I also would eat that like every morning.
I like the Pope themed crepes, the holy crepes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jabert, holy crepes, yeah. If I had a Aurorous applause button that I could play, I would have done it for you right there.
Thanks, bud. I appreciate it.
Jabert, are you telling jokes just for Drew now? I'm going to nip that in the bud, please.
This is a podcast within a podcast just for Drew.
Finally!
well, think about the name and announce it before the end of the episode. Well, let's get back into it and talk about what happened. Let's talk about Cosmic Crit first.
If we have to.
Yeah, we could just skip it. I don't know. I'm not telling you how to live your life. We don't have to do it. You guys won't get the chance for how about a re-roll and no one gets to know what happened last time.
Not for nothing, but maybe the anxiety and the time wasting of like trying to remember what happened last time is worth the re-roll. it's like, yeah, just let's skip it.
Well, we'll put it to a vote. I say, well, I don't care.
I keep my reroll, so it doesn't matter to me.
I mean, Patrick's already written it, so we should do it.
Anybody else?
I get more incentive to not do it.
Drew?
Hi.
Sure.
It sounds like we're doing it.
Yes, we are.
We're doing.
I guess it's a democracy, unlike our country.
Last time on Cosmic Crit, Fear wandered a negative plane of energy while observing the orb of Misaxenoi. After the party rallied together, each trying to coax him back, Crater reached out and disabled the psychic attack of the arcane object and plucked it from its crystalline bed. After conferring with Ezrind Shire, the party decided to follow the trail of the fated harvest and make for the Pulsar, perhaps to end the Culling Shadow once and for all. Back on New Galarian, the Driftrider crew met with Brigadier Assad and agreed to look into the seismic activity here on the planet. Their first mate, Flint, told them it was something just under the surface of the Isle of Kortos itself. What is wrong with that last time on?
I'll tell you what's wrong with it. I didn't look at my Andis 147 at all. 148? Is that who it is?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Did you tell us that we had to go look at the characters from like last season?
And I told you.
I did a big rut row.
We had like a month, I think.
Thank goodness.
Oh. Yeah, because I'm taking this trip to Japan, so you got some time.
Ah, thank goodness.
got a little bit of time. I mean, unless you like race through tonight's episode and then you're boned for next week. You're absolutely
in full stall mode. Jam from shoelaces are untied. I'm gonna have to take some time. 10-minute rest.
Yeah, we're gonna be doing a few extra episodes of that Drew only podcast.
Once again, sit on that name.
If you want that, then hang out with us on the WNRD channel in Discord.
How about Drew? You want to do a showman?
You want to do a shonan?
A showman? A showman?
Oh, yeah. Always.
Okay, I'm gonna need any and all last time on incorrections. I honestly can't
find anything wrong with this.
This is
my god!
I can't either. Except I remember saying terrible. That for the we all had a contribution to Flint's, and I specifically remember saying Veltrix, and that is not in there.
Oh, I think I know something.
No, it's Flint Tioa Vassialano, House Arrakan of the Bonesaw Clan, son of Bumpus.
Oh no!
I remember the Bonesaw part. But
What's up, Tyler?
Sorry. I didn't mean for this to leak into the podcast, but I play video games with Patrick and a good friend, our good friend Mike, and the way that they sometimes pronounce the word compass really pisses me off. And I just had some PTSD flashbacks when
the way we when say compass.
Compass.
Rhymes with like that. Bumpus.
Well, wait, Tyler, how do you say it?
I say compass.
Wasn't like with an O, right? Like compass or
no, he says compass.
I say compass.
I know for a fact he says compass.
Yeah.
I'm lost.
Oh, because I mean this is probably inappropriate, but
I'll write it out in chat so you don't
there
have
you go,
to.
There you go. That's good. I like this.
See it anymore.
I hate it so much.
All right. It sounds like nobody has anything incorrect here.
Well,
I thought Rebecca had something.
No, she said.
Well, I have two things that, but I don't know what the right thing is. I can only say what's wrong.
Oh.
But that's not helpful.
What's wrong?
No.
Maybe I'll help your allies.
I think that it's probably not an arcane object.
Incorrect is, I believe I described it as such last week.
Oh.
An well, arcane.
I have no idea.
It was a Draelic created magical item. Tyler?
I mean, the only thing I can think of is that we, this is like really finicky, but we didn't meet with Brigadier Assad. We just chatted with them over the phone.
Yeah.
It's not really meeting.
I feel like that counts as
that counts.
In the COVID era of Zoom, I feel like that counts
as meeting. I have enough Teams, quote unquote, meetings that it 100% counts. As soon as someone says "Hey" in Teams, I click X.
Oh, all right.
I stand corrected.
It sounds like I'm getting a potential reroll here. If you got no other guesses,
I don't think anything's wrong.
You don't think anything is wrong in this?
Well, we've already established at least one thing is wrong. So
how dare you? Wrong.
I said what I thought, but like
I feel like at this point, Patrick is trying to bait us into guessing wrong. And this seems like something he'd do, which is words that I will, of course, live to regret.
Wait, Rebecca, what was the thing you said?
I said it wasn't an arcane object, but I was told I was wrong. It is an arcane object, so I have no idea.
Oh, boy. Huh. What if all five things were, or what if all the things were wrong with this guy's name?
I do specifically
remember
five typos.
Bone Saw was 100% there.
Does that have an edited tag on it?
It's Flint Tiawa Vassilano, House of Harbracken of the Bone Saw Clan, son of Bumpus. That's what you guys made.
Oh, I got nothing.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, there's nothing wrong with this. It's all good stuff.
Oh,
we did
okay.
It.
Yeah. So I was negged.
Yeah, negged. Everyone yelled at Miles, but Miles
we did not yell
so right. Everyone belittled him.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood. When you said that counts to Tyler, I thought you meant that counts as a thing that was wrong. I misunderstood that. Okay.
Oh, no, sorry. Nothing. Nothing is wrong with this. Perfect okay. Last time cool. On.
That's what I said from the beginning.
Last time on. And I think
16th, 2025.
I do think I deserve the reroll. So I take it. I am that good.
You know what,
writing
Patrick,
these.
Good for you. Yeah, good for
grumpy
you.
About this the entire episode. Yeah. I will forget within 2 minutes.
I backed you, Miles. I want you to know.
I did, bud.
This week's episode starts with the crew of the Peridot Peregrine, the administrators of Viridian, Redacted, Jamfer, Basher, and Sky, Zilix, and Primex Pradier. Five of you have both a short and a very, very, very long trip out to the edge of the solar system, of the world that you thought to be Galarian at one point in time, set to take the orb of Misaxenoi into the heart of this dying purple star, it seems. This pulsar, this quasar, pushing its way forward into the system. You all have a very short amount of downtime here in this trip, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 12 to 24 hours before, you know, things hit the fan, the eponymous things that do hit fans and get everywhere and make a mess. It, you know, those things. Yeah, what are your characters doing here? This might be, you know, this might be the end stretch for some of you guys.
I feel like we ought to be investing in some anti-radiation gear, maybe.
No, that sounds like useful stuff.
Rebecca, we're broke. I mean, I agree.
Oh,
but remember the thing that had all the money ran away because, I mean, things beyond our control happened.
Yeah,
so we're broke.
Right, definitely not Praetor's fault, right?
We're not going to talk.
Whoa! You couldn't even get something she right said the last time on, Rebecca. Stop firing shots at me. I blacked out. I got really
back
defensive.
On Rebecca's side.
Yeah, no. Hopefully, I agree. It would be nice to buy a bunch of. I do. Praetor might be able to buy some spell gems for anti-radiation stuff. So. Can try to do that.
Don't have. I mean, you guys got to get moseying. You have no planetary time to take a nap. You gotta get the peregrine out in the space. So perhaps you can trade with some ships in orbit around the planet. But if you do want to make some small purchases, that'd be fine. But the peregrine might be the only ship in the universe that you guys have already been. Deluged. You've already been inundated with this radiation for some of you your entire life. So hopefully you've built up a tolerance of some sort. Perhaps the lethal rays will be kind to you. But you've got the orb of Misaxenoi. What's Praetor thinking? You've had like one vision so far. What are you thinking you're gonna have to do with this thing?
Oh, I think we're gonna find a convenient slot somewhere that we just gotta put it in.
I don't appreciate it being spoken of like that.
You mean like the heart of Tafiti? Like
this is gonna, oh my gosh, Rebecca, that's a genius idea, actually. Yeah, we're gonna heart of Tafiti. Dude, Miss Saxonoi is gonna turn into some like awesome good deity because we
it turns from volcano to
grant us wishes,
green and lush.
Yeah, and it'll thank us and it's bless us.
You guys, this is gonna go really good.
Yeah,
I got a good feeling about this.
Yeah, maybe it's just like maybe this is just like Shaylin with a bad hangover, and we're just like fixing that.
You're the chicken in this adventure. I don't know what you're talking about, man.
You're
Alan Tudyk's character.
That's Alan Tudyk. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I when I said that, I was like, oh, that's not a bad thing to be Alan Tudyk. He never dies in the adventure, right?
I'm hoping I for a real Z answer.
All right. Well, you said opening, which is great.
Okay. Well, thanks for pointing out my stupidity, Pat.
No, that's
put me on blast.
I want that to be a word now.
Oh, opening. I still feel like maybe the item's destruction somehow plays a role in this, but it's probably not. But you know, maybe it's one of those things where you have to right place, right time to sign, maybe put it in a weakened state so that it becomes vulnerable to our mortal means of damage.
You hit the
yeah,
or the boss, maybe it's something, and then it reveals its underbelly where it's got like a crit spot, and then you have the stab animation into it.
Yeah, or maybe it's kind of like the swarm where the orb will allow us to, you know, kind of go into maybe a different plane where it is vulnerable. Mm. You know, there have been a lot of video game bosses in the past.
Yeah, like, what book are we in
right
now?
Oh, no, I can't damage it. And then you're like, I'm in the Shadow Realm. Oh, I can stab it to death in the Shadow Realm.
So, did you say what book are we in, Jabbar?
Yeah. Are we in book 5?
This is book 6.
Oh, yeah. No, we're going to be in this plane.
This book is called The Culling Shadow.
Yeah,
you got that going for you.
I think Praetor is spending many hours just staring deeply into the not Palantir.
Yep, as we said, legally distinct from that, even though it is a dark orb that allows you to touch the mind of an elder evil, perhaps. Yep. Well, Zilix, Redacted, Jamfram, do you have any, Asher, any insight into this thing and what the journey you've made thus far?
So Zilix doesn't have a ton of insight into this orb because he's got no like
mystical, magical connections that he is conscious of for this stuff. So he's mm-hmm. been spending his time kind of by himself, and he pulls out a little box in his quarters, and you see this decrepit looking little animal skeleton that he then just uses his nanites to bring back to life. It's sort of how he learned how to bring those dudes back to life in a couple of battles ago. He's just practicing with his little pet.
What horrible woodland creature did you murder and stuff in a box, Drew? When did this happen?
I didn't say he murdered him. He just probably picked it up. And.
But you did, didn't you? You didn't say it, but you did.
Space squirrels are space squirrels, man. What's going to happen?
Can you... Well, I don't know if you could just retcon. It's like, oh, by the way, I've got squirrel bones in my back.
The key ingredient to Miss Saxonoy's defeat.
I do find that funny. Yeah. Well, as we watch the darkness overtake Gazillix in his quarters,
he's already used his nanites to bring back a living, thinking thing. The space squirrel. But doing ain't it that big of a deal, guys. Come on.
But it's you doing it in a room alone with a box. That's the creepy part.
Practice, bro. He knows how weird it looks. He knows how weird it looks. That's why he's closed the door.
I appreciate that.
Sure. What about you?
I'm wondering if Sky would be able to, like, I know that I can't touch this thing. And now that it's mm-hmm. neutralized, right?
Yeah, it seems to have lost some of its psychic attack power, perhaps. But, I mean, do you guys want to go about touching it some more?
I was kind of thinking maybe I could send Sky to touch it. Can I use tattoo transference on the crystal?
It's an inanimate object, so I don't think so.
No.
Okay. Can you just have Sky, like, leave an imprint of itself, like, on a couch?
I don't know.
Yeah. Be thinking about that. Do you
well, leave it was, stains it was everywhere on you go? Shells of well, I guess those are living beings, but anyway. I don't know.
So thinking about it, toying with your connection, perhaps, to the elder, to Miss Axanoi, to the darkness, to the radiation. Miles, what's Jamprim or Redacted thinking about?
I think Redacted definitely is trying to, I don't want to say get a reaction, but Redacted is certainly trying to study the crystal. And possibly, I'm going to say poke and prod, even though, you know, probing is you know, Redacted's whole deal. I think Redacted is certainly trying to do certain scans, tests, and potentially poking it in ways that Redacted probably shouldn't be.
Well, I think we talked about how you're pretty sure that this thing's energy signature does seem very opposite, very opposed to the energy signatures you've been working on for months now, that of the Necropositrine technology.
Right.
And Ray. So, yeah, maybe a few hours into your guys' space journey, we can see Redacted, you know, like trying to obliterate the orb. Brainier takes a nap, and then all of a sudden the orb's in like a target bay. The Necropositrine ray focus on it. But no, it definitely seems like it like counteracts the destructive force of the orb.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And you are pretty sure that it is working. Do you want to try and touch it again?
Yes.
Oh, you crazy dancer. Make me a will save.
Oh, no. I don't want to do that.
Oh, no. The consequences of my actions.
No. It's my worst save.
Pathfinder and Starfinder are such a, like, hey, you shouldn't touch that thing. Well, yeah, you've rolled very well here. 19 on the dice. And I can tell you that is enough to not have your mind shattered by visions. Sorry, your mind will remain unshattered. But yeah, as you touch this thing, your hand like goes through the Necropositrine field, and then you get quick flashes of death and destruction, decay, people's minds, their sanity being drained from them. And yeah, let me just roll some dice here real quick.
That's fun stuff.
You take 20 points of damage.
Oh,
I see. as you're blasted with this psychic vision. But yeah, as it seems to have given that energy off once more, it feels like this orb has kind of gone dormant. And as you look down at your hand, Redacted's hand does seem to be kind of liminally glowing with a purple light. It's very similar to what you saw, Praetir, after you touched the orb. You can see it around yourself as well here.
And it by the light.
Yeah, so let's see here. As you continue on your journey, you know, you're moving out towards the edge of the star system here, you know, passing the inner planets, and eventually your scans begin to show up indeed a massive debris field obfuscating a huge stellar object, you know, the size of a star basically coming into your system. The debris field looks like it is made up of detritus, disabled starships, as well as massive crystalline asteroids. So it's kind of like almost like a comet's nucleus before this object in space being pushed forward with it in a massive gravity field. The computer's not quite understanding some of the gravity fluctuations around it. And yeah, as you get closer to this heavenly body, one of these starships that you're going to move past the gas giants of the Wadana system, you get a distress call from. It seems like perhaps they still have some power. You heard from Ezra and Shire that there were starships that were being picked up in, you know, going dark on the outskirts of Wadana. The starships comms are very garbled, but you can hear, you know, over the static, please, can anyone hear this? This is exploration vessel SSX, the space foam. We need help. Our shields are failing. Our engines shutting down. If you can hear this, please send rescue. Static. That's what you all hear, except for Praetir. Praetir, you hear something else, maybe layered on top of this audio, a dull kind of rhythmic pounding sound that almost completely covers the SOS call. A dark voice calls out, and a chorus then repeats a litany afterwards. You hear the words, life is impure. Silence all souls. Cleanse the world.
Sounds normal.
Nothing to see here.
AM radio, am I right?
Yeah.
And okay. I just hear that going on in the background.
Yeah,
or is it interference?
No, that's pretty much what you get to hear while everyone else gets to hear the SOS.
Oh, great.
I just want everyone to think you're crazy, Tyler.
Yeah, I guess after. Praetir would probably just, like, after the message, they're like, well, that's a dark message.
are you like shaken by this? What do you think?
At this point, I think Praetir is Praetir has a very good will, very tight mind. Mm-hmm. So I think he's had a few hours to steel himself mentally. So I think this is pretty much par for what his expectations are, that he really has to steel trap his mind so that he doesn't get dominated, or, you know, I think he's very worried about mental intrusions at this point.
Mm-hmm. What are the rest of your guys' responses to the SOS?
Oh, we have to rescue them. We cannot. I want to go rescue them.
Rescue
that means who? Time. Do we have time to rescue them, or can we just send them supplies and let them be on their way?
Not to mention, they're far from the only spaceship out here. I mean, we can't save everyone. Isn't the best way to save them to destroy the source of their distress?
I'm still confused. Did you hear an actual message? I just heard the demonic ramblings of an evil entity.
Okay, Praetir, settle down. Everybody thinks about that particular... We're not going to say that out loud.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, you guys can understand that it does seem like Praetir might have heard something different. Anybody want to follow up on that? Or Brady, yeah, do you want to follow up on that?
Yeah, I will indeed do that. I'll ask him if he's... Brady, are you feeling entirely well here? I've got you your medicine here. What's this you're saying about demonic ramblings? These are clearly people who are in need of our help.
Didn't you hit me with insulin last time? What did you shoot me up with?
No, here's my inhaler. This has got medicine in it, probably.
that's right. Gosh.
It's probably just saline, but like, you know, that's saline, good too.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we play the message back again? I didn't hear an SOS at all.
Schwab, 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 schwab.
Yeah, I mean, it's recorded, and as you play it back, it sounds the exact same to all five of you. It's like a very standard SOS, and then Tyler, you're hearing like, life is impure, strip the flesh, cull the soul, destroy the mind.
Yeah, okay, so I'm not hearing any SOS. I'm hearing like, Misaxenoi, just the words of Misaxenoi coming through the message. I just thought this was a message coming from the entity meant to deter us.
To be honest, Praetor has been more in tune with what's been going on than the rest of us have been. If he's hearing something strange or a message from Misaxenoi, I'm inclined to believe him. And it's all the more reason that we shouldn't go after this stray ship. We need to destroy the source of the distress.
Did the ship give its name, ID, captain, anything?
SSX the Space Foam, which sounds like a SpongeBob SquarePants joke or something.
It is called the Space Foam, indeed.
Is there any record of that ship in the Armada?
Did y'all not have Space Foam where y'all grew up? Like, is that just not a thing y'all had?
Is that a real thing?
I had Phloem.
Yeah, what's Phloem? Phloem was the name brand
version. When you go out to the space beach and the space waves crash up, there's space foam. It's a thing.
Hmm. Maybe, I don't know if they did a good Google search of this over at Paizo, but space foam is a pillow company? Not a sponsor, spacefoam.com.
Memory foam was created by NASA, right?
Yeah.
Commercials always told me.
Yeah, not a ship in the fleet. It was on the, you know, ostensibly the outside of the star system. So, you know, not anywhere close to the planet. So maybe they just got here or
were so the space phone was late to the party. Is that what you're saying?
Ship, yes.
So they're not one of ours, is what you're saying.
They're not part of the Armada, at least. Your computers, data banks say they're not.
I mean, this is more and more reason that we should not be chasing after stray starships. As much as I want to save people and help people, I think that we can help the most people by going to the source of the distress. Not to sound like a broken record, but...
You're right. We should blow them up.
Not what I said.
Mercy kill them and move on.
Yeah, okay. Well, these are all compelling arguments. I think Jamfram would be swayed and will satisfy himself with insisting that we drop maybe a pod with some supplies, but keep
on moving. Yeah, why don't we could at least go visually verify, you know, if we're in luck, maybe they've been beset upon by the faded corn kernel. Thank you. The faded harvest.
I'm sorry. Did you think the enemy starship was called the Faded Corn Kernel?
Well, Patrick, you did name a ship the Space Foam, so we can't be sure.
First of all, I didn't write this book, so shut your face, Drew. Shut it up. Second of all, wait, I mean, it's harvest, but I understand you do harvest corn.
I couldn't. My brain just came up with corn kernel. I don't know. Let's not dive too deep into that.
Well, too much on what happens in Tyler's brain.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
That's perhaps a third podcast within the podcast. Welcome to dwelling on Tyler's brain.
Perhaps they've had a run-in with the Faded Harvest. Maybe we can track down our foe and finish what we started.
You think that Krulveth could be aboard the ship?
I just want to get within visual range and see what we're dealing with, but if it appears that...
There's a chance if there was weapon fire, we can identify it by the Faded corn kernel harvest, whatever it's called, and chase it back to where it was going.
Cornelius, I think, is the name.
I would hate to think that while this appears to be just a random distress signal, I would hate to think that there is some clue here or chance for knowledge that we would just be passing by. So,
not to mention, if it is a trap, we don't want any of the other ships to fall into it. Better us, better prepared to deal with it.
Well, yeah, last time we went into Culver's trap, that went really well. But I still agree that we should at least do a cursory check before we move on.
Yeah, so investigating the space foam.
Yeah, let's get close. Maybe we'll get another transmission once we get closer and it's not so garbled, or we can at least hit it with a scan. Maybe we'll hit it with a scan and there'll be no life signs. Ooh, spooky shit.
Yeah, as you get close to this vehicle, why don't you make me a piloting check? Or what you got? Some
perception?
Society?
Society?
No.
Here? You mean culture?
I play too much Pathfinder. Culture. Way too much.
Kapow.
Excellent. I think. Well, got a few rolls here. Mouse, did you roll piloting as well?
Yeah, I'll roll piloting.
Because I think you'd probably be able to figure this out, as long with it looks like we've got a good roll from Asher and Sky as well. Yeah, taking a look at these scans, it seems the space foam is indeed a Sheeran vessel, like an exploratory class vehicle, like medium sized vehicle. And let's see, as you're scanning it over the space foam, it seems to be indeed kind of stuck in the gravitational orbit of this massive pulsar, even though it's like multiple planets kind of away. But it has distress, maybe lights on the outside, but it seems like the vehicle is powered down. The engines seem to be completely off.
Can you imagine running out of gas in the middle of nowhere in space? That's a boo-boo.
Well, it looks...
I've done it in multiple video games, and it's...
Well, why don't you give me... I think you'd be able to tell this with just a simple computer's check. There's very minor damage, maybe some dings, and it ran into something at some point. There's not that much, though. It doesn't look like it was hit by weapons fire or anything. And let's see, what else? But yeah, the hull appears to be pretty much wholly undamaged. Did you want to try and hail them again?
Let's hail them. With gunfire.
Oh boy.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding. With comms.
Yeah, as you do open up an open comm, you hear indeed exactly what Tyler heard coming out, and everyone can hear it this time. It sounds like kind of far away, like voices not next to the microphones, maybe in parts of the ship, just far off chanting of life is impure. Silence all souls. I think when this happens, Redacted, you get a little bit of deja vu. You think back to hours earlier, touching the orb, and you remember hearing these voices, but almost as if they're in the room with you. You get a vision of, I don't know, you get some creepy, what's that space horror movie?
The Horizon?
You get some Event Horizon flashes that were cut from the final film because they're a bit too extreme. some nasty things that were cut from even like the half second flashes.
Oh, the eyeless nude people.
yeah. You get, you know, maybe some stuff like that. But in addition to that, you don't even hear, you sense that there is a soul aboard the vessel that is still alive, still safe. Someone or something still here.
My God.
Well, in the spirit of doing dumb things that we often do, let's go be heroes.
Yeah.
Woo! Miles gets it. Wee!
About to say, be a real short episode if you didn't decide to get on the ship, boy.
Whoa! Gotta get on the ship, well, if that's on the docket, I think Redacted would not want.
and just go back to the drawing board and be like, oh, and you find the second shit caught in the wake. And it's also saying some kooky stuff. Yeah, so you guys are willing to board the space foam here, taking, I'm sure, all your weapons and goodies along. It's a starboard airlock, and you can kind of jump over. There are, as you move inside this airlock here, looks like 8 spacesuits on the inside as you pressurize. And taking a look at them, it looks like they were shredded. Sharp implements taken and cut them all open. So they'd be useless.
My goodness, who would do such a thing?
Someone. For sure.
Somebody.
I won't tell you, but someone did.
Can we roll to learn if it was like a weapon or clawy?
I mean, it was definitely just kind of some kind of slashing implement. Nice. You're not sure. Okay. Claw or knife claw. Maybe it was Freddy.
Ooh,
knife coming claw at you.
Cool.
By the way, did I mention this is our Halloween episode? We're way early. The summer of Halloween. Sounds
very much like some of the Halloween episodes we've done, yeah.
It's so scary that it's early.
It was Friday the 13th just the other day, wasn't it?
It was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh, spooky.
We celebrated.
How'd you celebrate Friday the 13th?
We watched Jason Goes to Hell. Yeah. It was very forgettable.
Rebecca, watch that language.
I warned you.
Jeez,
We didn't find it that bad. It just wasn't that good. It was extremely
boring.
Boring and mid.
The definition of mid.
For me, that's worse than being like bad.
Agreed. I would much rather watch a really bad one. Yeah.
You say that as if we didn't hate watch some of these that we've been going through.
Yeah, but like I will watch 5 any day of the week before I watch Jason Goes to Hell.
Gotta remind me what 5 is.
The one with Jason, but not Jason.
It's the one where it's
Roy.
It's not great.
My second least favorite.
It's bad. Don't get me wrong.
It's the one where Corey Feldman grows up and gets put in a home for...
It has some decent, a couple cool scenes, and it's certainly more watchable than Jason Goes to Hell.
Watch the one on the cruise ship before Jason Goes
to Hell.
Jason Takes Manhattan is great.
Yeah.
But Jason X is next on the menu, so...
Let's go.
Oh boy, you are in for a treat. I always forget if Tyler loves or hates that movie.
Loves. Big love.
Loves to hate.
It's Max on the Discord that hates that movie, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I believe we've
don't call Max out.
You'll also see plenty of people from Andromeda that we watched on The More You Nerd.
Are you guys ready to explore the space foam?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I guess I will say Asher and Sky are very fearful.
Yeah, I need to take a few minutes.
I'm so afraid we're going to die on this side mission when we're so close to the quasar.
I can only hope. I'm going to take a few minutes and cast a few spells.
Okay. Who wants to crack open the inner airlock door?
I'll do it, Captain.
I was going to say Jaffrum.
I'm going to draw my gun.
Yeah, there's a large hallway headed towards the opposite side of the ship, and then one heading towards the front of the ship, also known as the front of the ship.
The bow.
The nose.
Yeah, I'll take a bow. I'm pretty proud of my GMing work.
The front bits, as I call it.
You see a couple of doors to your left. The hallway continues on in that direction along the bow, it seems. And then the back hallway going towards the starboard side of the ship.
Starboard is the right side.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, the map is kind of on the side here. Starboard side, aka north on this map. You see door to the right and a door at the end of this hallway. Do you guys want to put yourself in here wherever you want and take a look around? Or do you want to pick what? Right now you got 5 doors. If you want to continue exploring these hallways, I'm sure you'll find more.
Do we have a read? Does anybody have psychic powers in this team? I forget. Does anybody have a psychic read on where or like a metaphysical read on where this being might be?
I have a sword. That's like having psychic powers, except that instead of being able to read people's minds, you mostly cut off people's legs.
I call it your sharp wit.
Ha, that's the ticket.
I mean, Redanid has like limited telepathy, but like only like 30 feet.
Well, do you want to move somewhere and see if you can reach out?
Also has scout bots that can be sent out.
Oh, you want to throw together the old scout bot? And
absolutely.
I'm to go around. Yeah. Well, if you want to do that, do you want to just walk around the hallway here? I can give you a kind of a...
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it would make sense maybe to go to the engine room first to try to get power back on. That seems like a...
Or you could have the scout bot do it.
Well, the scout bot's not going to get power back on, but we could see if there's anybody in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the scout bot can do that.
Okay, the scout bot can easily walk around a few hundred feet of interior hallways. It's a big loop around the ship. There's what seems to be some interior sections. And nine times out of ten, the engine room is at the aft. Did you guys want to go that direction? Do you want to move to one side of the ship? You're in full exploration mode, wherever you want to go.
I mean, we're pretty close to the aft. We could go ahead and check there.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, so Jammer, go get it.
I'm going. Here I go, boss. Aft. Which way is the aft? This way.
Yep.
If only someone wrote all the directions all over the map to help your poor GM. Poor GM. Okay. Right.
Kick in the door. Yeah.
That's not right. Oh. So yeah, opening up the engineering bay, you do see a cold, quiet power core here. Maybe there's some backup energy coming from elsewhere within the ship, some battery draws that allow the emergency lights on. But it does seem like you don't see anybody here. You don't sense anybody here. It just seems like the engine is quiet and dark.
Can I use engineering to see what might be wrong with the engine?
Yeah. You want to try and interface, log in, take a look around? the Unity tendril just like whoop, goes right back in when you.
I didn't pull it out. I didn't pull out the Unity tendril. Nobody said anything about the Unity tendril.
So zip. Rebecca, as Asher and Sky is looking over here, it does seem like, I mean, it's not like a hint bit of sabotage, but it looks like a shield emitter has been wired into a loop. So it's just drawing all the ship's power and it caused like an overload. So it is something that is, you know, pretty easy. It would take less than an hour to uncouple, recouple some wires and get the engine in working order again.
That restart seems the wise. Engine.
Yeah. So
less than an hour? Is that like, every time somebody says less than an hour, it's like, 5 minutes is less than an hour, but this is going to take like 55 minutes.
Well, I could stay here with the engine and work on the engine while y'all go, you know, investigate the rest of the ship and try to find the one soul that's alive.
That's a recipe for mind takeovers by Misaxenoi.
I mean it. All right. Well, yeah, someone else pick another room if that's what you want to do. Yeah, Rebecca can have Asher and Sky stay and start working on that. 5 minutes to an hour later.
We have comms. Can we have an ability to contact each other, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
I mean, not totally alone. Like.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, not only do we have the physical comms. Even if the physical comms were interfered with somehow, you're all telepathically linked. You can all talk.
Okay,
to
great.
Oh, yeah.
But what if I rip your head off, Tyler? Are you psychically linked then? What if whatever ripped up those spacesuits just tears Pradier's head clean off his shoulders?
Then my wish will finally be granted and you will not be telepathically linked.
Yeah.
I mean, what we could do is someone could stay with me and help me with the engine, and then the other three can go.
Yes, split the party even more. Yes. So yes, that's right. Who's the shaggy in this situation? Who's going by themselves?
Okay. I'll do it.
Well, why don't somebody pick another door and we'll burn through.
I feel like we should stay close, and I wonder if what is in this middle section. Let's go in there.
Which door?
I picked one to the port side, on the port side of the ship.
Let's do that one.
You see a door with what looks like a Sheeran outline on it. It looks like Prettier's going to the one to the north side. You found the male and host Sheeran side down here on the port side, and Prettier opens up the female of the species side. Way to go. You're not allowed to be in there, Tyler.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah, you're not supposed to.
Yeah, the last time you were in a bathroom, you knocked a guy's eye out. So
you see nothing of note in here except maybe some small notes on the mirror reminding crew to clear the space after they're done.
And wash their hands before returning to work.
All crew have to wash their claws. And
all right, let's wash your hands. Let's wash your hands real fast.
That just applies to the crew of the ship, right?
There's no power, Drew. We can't wash our hands.
Wix radios to Asher. You must get the power back on. We can't wash our ETA? Hands. We're stuck in here.
Oh, we need you, Asher and Sky. Oh, no. Oh, it's the humanity.
I suddenly remembered my character's intense germophobia.
No, Redacted. Asher and Sky wants to do this as a solo mission. Right, Rebecca? Or did you want Redacted to help?
I mean,
next door.
I just said someone can stay with me if they want to, but...
Oh, there you go. You get your get-out-of-jail-free card, Miles. You can stay back in the engineering if you want.
Okay.
All right. Where to next? It looks like Jamfram, Zilix, and Prettier move in as a group.
I still think we should move slowly to get back to the engine room if we need to. So this is the next door. Let's maybe look at that.
Sure.
You want me to take a quick peek inside?
Yeah. With your whole head.
Well, no, I think I'll just leave my body and project myself into that other plane of existence into.
Is that a spell slot that we may need later today?
I could have
done this for every room.
hold on 1 second. Zilix, you come here.
You want that Unity Central?
Yeah, sure. Why don't you bring that over here? I do that thing that's in like that Avengers movie where I just put my hand against your chest and you're just blasted into the astral. So you can astrally walk around. Let me actually pull up the real rules for this, but
I thought you were goofing. No,
I can actually force other people into the I kept saying astral plane. That's so wrong, Tyler. The ethereal plane.
Ethereal projected Zilix is something I never knew that I wanted, and now let's do this every episode.
Can nothing touch you while you're in that plane? So you can just walk around?
Yeah. So, well, no, I mean,
unless
stuff can touch you.
Something else is in the ethereal plane.
Yes. If the Ghost Killer fusion can absolutely hit you if you're in the ethereal plane, that's its whole thing.
And my body is still there with nobody in it to protect it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's literally just like when they do that whole astral thing in the Avengers. So you would see Zilix's body just sort of slump into Prater's arms, and then he can just sort of wander around for, I'm trying to figure out the duration that you can do this real quick.
Hold me.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Right.
So heading inside, Ghost Zilix, popping in. As you look inside, it might easily be mistakable for a storeroom, but you see indeed there. These quarters are filled with just a lot of junk. Damaged and outmoded bits of the ship sit on, you know, small workstations and things like that in various points of disarray, dismantling and rebuilding, grease perhaps smudged on just about every surface. A cot sits under one of the few things adorning the walls here, what looks like a diploma in mechanical engineering from Zesh University, if you recall, out there in the old the outer planets, Zesh University, and has the name Pema on it.
Do you guys need this for 12 rounds, by the way.
Oh, boy. Thank you. Do you want to make me a society check, Drew? See if you... Zilix? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, it says society check here in the book, actually. So I think what? I'm right.
Oh, I think, wow. I think I can't do it because I literally don't have that check to make.
No. All I'm saying is my hands are clear. They had one error in one of their books. So, no, do you want to make me a culture, please?
I will. It is one of them for me.
One of them.
That's a 17. One.
You've not heard of Zesh University, but keen-eared listeners, perhaps the five of you might recall it. Indeed, Zesh University was one of the locations of Season 3 of Cosmic Crit, the Ilum Chuva University that you guys went to, and the swarm-destroyed planet.
Oh, with the nerd, right, yeah.
With the nerd, yes.
Can I send this psychically back through the ethereal plane to see if anybody else knows anything about
It's just an interesting little note that they added into this is Pema's quarters, perhaps maybe an engineer on the ship from looking around.
Pretty cool.
I hate to ask this because we don't know Pema's status, but is everything good in here?
Oh boy. I mean, there's lots of what looks like mechanical equipment that if you spent the time cleaning and powering stuff up could probably be a mechanics toolkit, but not much in the way of loose credits or jewelry or valuables of that nature.
Zenzilix is just going to float on into the next room. I can float through walls, right?
Yeah,
you can go through
nothing walls. Materials. Yep. It's going to stop you.
Yeah. So it's the same thing. You can go through walls, floors, whatever, but you also can't pick stuff up, right? So you can't.
That's why I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes and psychically sending it back.
Well, you got into a pretty psychedelic room, it looks
this
like.
This room looks awesome. Can Zilix get back into his body and then go into this room for real? Because this room looks rad. What is in this room?
Yeah, bits of cheap crystal cover the walls of and floor, it looks like, of this room in a very garish but well-executed, artistically designed mosaic. There are kind of like little art projects here and there, but maybe most notable, there's a personal diary, well-adorned and leather-bound on the table here. And then you open it up and it's like a data pad inside of it. But yeah, there's inside.
Because I can't touch it. Am I telling somebody to go and do that?
I mean, you can if you want. You don't see anybody in here.
Does someone want to come and check out this diary? See if maybe we can have some context for this adventure.
Yeah, we'll come in here. It's also worth noting.
Also, this room is rad. Come check it out.
It's so cool. I do like the art for this little room. It's all crystalline. Yeah, as you open up the data pad here, there's, you know, towards the surface of the files, several what looks like drawings of crew members with names attached to them. You see Rack, who seems to be wearing insignia of a captain, a female Sheeran. You see Cal, a chief mate. Tresh, a host science officer, Pema, marked as an engineer, and Vak, another female Sheeran, who looks like they're sitting at a gunner station.
So five folks in total?
Yeah, and perhaps whoever's journal this is.
Six total, okay.
They didn't do a self-portrait.
Hmm.
Did you want to like read through this at all, or spend some time with it?
Yeah, Prater can... Probably don't want to waste spirit walk turns reading this, but
mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
well, you want to read it while I go to the next room?
Yeah, yeah, sure can.
All right, I'm gonna then just kind of creep up north
to the center room here, right? Opening it up, I think you can tell just by another looking here. It's a mess hall. There's health and sanity of crew on long voyages, posters adorning the wall. It's, you know, very little, but tables, chairs, a small kitchen area with pretty meager cooking equipment, but a large refrigeration, like built-in wall refrigeration unit. And if you could open that up, I'm sure you can get a snack, but fortunately, without corporeal hands, you're going to be hungry, Zilix. I'm so sorry.
Oh, he had already made in his mind a big sandwich that's like that tall.
Back in. You find out it is Atron is the male Sheeran whose quarters you're in Praedir. And it's most of the entries here are kind of just, you know, star logs of like what they did. And but every once in a while, there's some personal bits and bobs between members of the crew. And Tron seemed to have been very interested in Nirak, the captain of the ship, as a potential mate at one point. But yeah, they have a long thing of Vrek not noticing them. And you maybe fast forward a little bit, and a few months later, you find what looks like talk of the birth of a child, of Nirak's child. And indeed, a lot of the entries for Atron seem to kind of shift focus towards Pema.
Oh, jealousy.
Thy name?
Yes, whatever this person's name, individual's name was.
Atron.
Atron. Yes. Do you share that with your discoveries in this journal with the crew?
Yeah. You know, I'll sort of telepathically let everyone know that it was a six individual crew, and there was some juicy crew drama.
Somewhere in the corridors of the ship, you just hear "ooh" echoed throughout.
You know what? Oh, no one's got it here. Why don't you make a society check or will save? You know, whatever. See if you get blasted by a realization in the journal.
A will save,
whatever you want to make. Yeah, whatever you want to make. Tyler, I bet you got a good will.
Okay. I mean, it's better than my culture.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when I roll an 18 on the dice.
As you're walking out of Atron's quarters here, maybe you're about to put this little digital journal down. You go back and just hear what you yourself read a moment ago, and then go back a few entries and back a few more. And it was only a few months ago that there are details of the Sheeran Captain Nirak giving birth right here aboard the space foam.
Oh.
So is Jamfram going to have a Sheeran baby attached to him for the rest of the campaign? Because that's going
to
be awkward.
Oh, I really hope this isn't like demon baby scenario. No, because the journal shifted.
If would Paizo make you read...
kill a baby, Tyler?
No, but Patrick might. No, but indeed, there could be a child aboard the ship somewhere.
Oh, a babby.
Do you share that with your teammates, your crew? And does that change your mission here at all?
Well, the last time I had to deal with children, it didn't go so well.
Well, remind us, what was the last time?
The ghost children of the guy
the ghost children I pretended to be their dad.
Yeah.
Papa's here, children. Papa's here. I'm alive. I didn't die.
Let father pass you into Pharasma's grace. Yeah, I'll notify everyone that to be on the lookout. There could be a small child on the ship, so check them small corners.
Well, so they're not cool kind of space baby. Got it.
Do you want to make a life science check for me? Anybody that gets this info?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know enough.
Okay. I think Asher has got the info. This was redacted. This will be a tiny, tiny child. Like, we're talking the size of like a big old Cheeto, you know, probably in some kind of sealant tank to keep it safe. They're very small until they're kind of made to grow.
Oh, so
baby Sheeran is itty bitty.
So you made the comment that it looks like a tiny Cheeto.
Mm-hmm.
And now Zilix kind of psychically messages out, can please everybody come and make double check this cafeteria, this mess hall, to make sure all of these Cheetos are not baby Sheer.
Somebody eat all these Cheetos, but be careful. If you get a crunchy one, pull back. Oh, pull back.
No.
Redacted eats all the Cheetos.
No.
And this one's squishy.
Right. Do you want to continue your psychic exploration? How many rounds do you have of this, Tyler?
He has
minutes.
12 rounds.
12 rounds. Okay. So, I mean, we're only through like three of them right now. If you want to continue on,
as Modest Mouse would say, let's float on.
Just already.
Let's just go north up to the, well, north on the map to the starboard section, and we'll start.
I'm just going to start revealing rooms. Yeah, we're going to start revealing the opposite side of the ship, which is a guest quarters. Oh, no, wait, F8. Oh, spotless quarters that has some well-worn luggage and clothes in the wardrobe. There's a data pad on the side of the bed and some famous
Amos cookies.
Amos cookies, yeah. No, I was about to say famous novels, but those are on the data pad. You wouldn't know about those because you have to touch it with your fingers. Yeah, pretty clean quarters, and the ones right next to it are indeed guest quarters. Doesn't look like anyone is staying here, but as you move on towards the last room here, it's the largest that you've seen. Indeed, this looks like it could be house multiple people. You see a few beds here. It is very cramped, but very cozy. There's holo photos of three Sheerans on the wall. Indeed, they seem to be in front of a Hylaxian temple on a planet side somewhere. And why don't you make me a perception check, Drew?
Come on.
It's pretty hard to spot. Indeed, after you get the education of what you're looking for, you find what looks like, you know, the container that the ooze was in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Secret of the Ooze.
Yeah. Does it have the letters SNRI on it?
Sure. It has...
No, TGRI, sorry.
I was saying, wait a minute.
SNRI is a Gundam faction from F91.
Sorry, it says TGIF on the side. No, you see what looks almost like a little terrarium, a liquid-sized pod of sorts, and floating inside a dim light behind it looks like a larva floating in some goo.
You found the Cheeto. Good job.
Ah! The Cheeto's in here, baby. Come and get him. That's it. I guess I don't know one way or the other.
Yeah. Do you guys want to reconvene? Because I think it's at that moment after you search through here, search through a few other rooms. It doesn't take long for Redacted and Asher and Sky working together to get the engine back online. It will take a little while for the ship to come under full power, but lights and you see life support turn back on as you move into this is the captain's quarters of Captain Narek.
Does it look like our little Sheeran Bebet was affected by the power out, or was this terrarium?
No.
Did it have its own individual power source?
It's got its own power supply. It can be taken on the go. There's a big business in the Starfinder universe for bigger and better Sheeran larva travel tubes. Well, this is like a mid-ranged one.
Jim, from where's that fanny pack that we used to carry the last child remains?
Ah, right here.
God.
Pop them in.
Oh, good. Well, good. It's still alive.
Well, that's fine. I mean, well, yeah, we're not killing it. I'm just... Why am I talking to God?
Pray, dear. Let's
just put this in.
I'm not killing it, God.
Let's be cool.
Pray, dear, as you pick up the tube here, you get maybe a burst of psychic grumbling coming from within. You've woken the baby. Baby Tralla is their name. But yeah, as soon as you do, the grumbling kind of...
Goo, goo.
the grumbling subsides a bit, but you still hear it very clearly say, to be continued, before it falls back asleep.
No.
Yeah, I don't want to play this anymore. You guys you're not having fun with my five heroes and a baby story that I'm turning this podcast into.
We're getting awfully close to Death Stranding vibes here, Patrick.
I just want...
It is an extremely empty ship.
The baby's going to tell you if like the evil entity is nearby.
Gets 100%.
Gets grumpy
the freaking baby noise is going to come out of my keyboard and mouse, and it's like, I hate this. This is the worst part.
Can you imagine? All of a sudden, the larva's holding a Monster Energy drink inside the tube. Like,
gaga. Can you imagine when we meet Miss Axanoy, and it's going to be like, did you... Wait, did you bring a baby? And there's just Champ really with a sword, a shield, and a fanny pack holding a Bjorn baby.
We've just got a baby Bjorn, little cheering in the middle.
Classic.
Let's go.
Classic space adventure. We'll find out perhaps what happened to the crew of the space foam. Why did they leave this beautiful baby larva by itself on next week's episode? Guys, thank you for playing with me.
Thank you, Patrick.
Listeners, thanks for listening. Podcast fans, we'll be back 1 week with another space adventure. So long, and until then, have a good one, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Cosmic Crit, the Starfinder role-playing game and adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.